This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome to The Property Show, our weekly take on all things property related, and I'm Wong Xiaoning. Chris Tan of Chur Associates joins us today to answer your questions on the monthly property legal clinic. This happens on the last Friday of every month, so if you have any legal questions for Chris, you can send them our way via our email, property@bfm.my, or you can WhatsApp your question to 018-789-8899, whether by text or voice message. Now, Chris, shall we start with the first question? And this is from a gentleman called Keith. And he says, I'm a strata property owner in KL. What does the latest Federal Territory Ministry decision regarding the parcel rent to replace quick rent for KL strata developments mean? He says, does it mean it's a fairer system? What is the deal now? And is he being unfairly charged with the current system?
Okay, I think we have to understand what is quick rent first and for all. It's actually called the Cukai Pintu. Basically, is by the local authority for the service they render to you. And now, in a strata situation, there are also services being rendered. For example, the rubbish collection at the main refuse chambers and all these things. So one have to understand that, you know, when they said fairer, when they said parcel rent, what it means is that it used to be that, you know, a quick rent Cukai Pintu basically is, it has to do with every title, there will be a tax on it, right? So the whole idea about this quick rent is that previously, or current system, in the word of Keith, is that if it's a strata development, if it's a condominium and everything else, the Cukai Pintu is rendered as a master on the entire scheme. So there could be a situation whereby you pay, but your neighbor didn't pay.
Mm.
So for all intents and purposes, then your contribution in the maintenance charges and all these things will be utilized.
Mm.
Instead of doing maintain, is to compensate the shortfall that your neighbor didn't pay. So in a way, it is a fairer system, simply because you will now pay for your own portion and therefore you will be not held liable. Instead, the entire scheme will not be impacted.
Okay. And then this is a question from Sharon.
Mm.
This is regarding buying property. And her question is, how do I convert the title from Bumi to non-Bumi title?
I think Bumi and non-Bumi title is not new in our day of life every time. And I think questions like this do come one and on and off. But I think the very important thing is to distinguish what exactly when you say Bumi. Because there's a concept called Malay Reserve Land. There is a concept called Bumi Quota. There is another concept called Native Title. All right. So for all intents and purposes, everyone must understand what it means. If the land is actually marked as a Bumi Reserve Land, forget about it. Nobody can buy, save for Bumi, or a Bumi majority company can buy. So I'm saying to you is that if the land title or the underlying land title already said is Bumi Reserve, right, RESUP, whatever in that sense, and it's Malay Reserve in that sense, so nobody can buy. So if you are buying that, forget about conversion. There's no such thing as conversion. But there will be another concept called Bumi Quota. So Bumi Quota, in a very basic format, is like this. Local authority imposed this quota. For example, in DBKL, under local authority, when they approve for your development order, we call it DO, for the developer to sell and whatnot for any new project. So the developer will have a condition in their development order to comply. So the compliance basically is like this. You can sell, but how many percent of it must be sold to Bumi in that sense? So if you can sell to the Bumi and whatnot, you must comply and there's an expectation of certain Bumi discount, right? So it's about 5 to 7% in KL.
And it varies from state to state,
It varies,
right?
From state to state, because ultimately this development order in terms of quota is actually a state matter. Because like I said, I think
all land is state matter.
Correct. So when they approve it, therefore they're utilizing their state power in that sense. So when I look at the Bumi Kota, what does it mean? It's actually for one-time compliance by the developers. That's important because the developer will have to sell directly in first hand to the Bumi buyer, at least based on the percentage given. By the way, 30% is not across the board. There are different percentage in different state. So again, we do not know and different expectation of the discount from different state. So the whole idea is that if the developer can do it, then it's fine. They have to show that this has been sold to a Bumi buyer and they've shown that they have given the discount. Now, if, let's say, the developer, for some reason, cannot sell to the a certain percentage as to the Bumi quota, then the developer has to prove that he has made effort. So they have shown advertisement. They have shown that they participate in certain expo. That's why MAPEX, from time to time, have this Bumi edition of Malaysia Property Expo, I mean, run by RERA. The whole idea is for compliance to show to the authority we try.
Exhausted all options, in other words.
Correct.
Right?
So probably about, you have to show that effort probably in 2-3 years later, and then they will then consider a waiver. So when they consider a waiver, so the idea about considering a waiver is that the local authority will say, okay, fine, but you have to pay the discount most of the time back to the local authority. So in that way, after you have get the waiver, or then you can actually sell. So in a sub-sale situation, normally shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, just one question. Sure. Sorry.
No problem.
But Chris, what happens if it's a secondary transaction? So you're buying it secondhand from, let's say, a Bumi owner.
Sure.
Can you convert the title then?
Correct. There's no conversion required, actually. Like I said earlier, I did mention that it's actually for one-time compliance. So the whole idea is actually a compliance between the developers and the local authority. So let's say if there's one-time compliance for all intents and purposes, subsequently the Bumi owner can sell to anyone in the secondary market. There's no issue. There's no issue. But I think the issue is that there are some local authorities, some land officers did make a stamp on the title to say it's a Bumi unit. So with this, I would think that I would advise any interested purchaser to do their proper due diligence and to understand perhaps from the local land office whether they can still transact and whether would they have any problem because of this stamp on it. Because a lot of time is about the interpretation. Like I said, if you have a choice, try not to buy this with those things, right? And I can also tell you that, I mean, even the Bumi, after they buy this, they are very conscious about this as well. Because especially the more affluent one, if they need to buy something and they will say, can you not give me a Bumi unit?
Because they don't want the subsequent paperwork or hassle of it.
I mean, potential complication. Let's put it this way. They will say, okay, I want to buy. You can give me the discount, but I don't want this as part of your Bumi quota. It's quite common these days if such requests do happen. But I just say that, you know, at the end of the day, it's really a policy consideration. So when I say policy consideration, there's no law. So I keep saying that there's no law here. It's basically it's a policy because it's a condition imposed by the local authority using their discretion.
So if you persist, it may just take up a bit of time and effort on your part to run around with the different, I mean, to run to the ministry to or the land office to get the title changed.
Yes, and the best thing is that I would say that it's a matter of policy. I want to stress that it's a matter of discretion, which means that there is no guideline. As in like, oh, you have to run 4 rounds. So that I can give you the conversion. No, not like that. You can spare from even running, or you can run forever and you won't get it. So as I said, you know, these are policy matter. It's just like, you know, how we, I mean, there's a lot of policy matter in Malaysia that's not really governed by the law. For example, I would say like even foreign purchase, every state is different.
I mean, the limits also, right?
Correct. So the federal will tell you about their concept, but it's up to the state whether they want to follow or not. You know, now recently the budget about 600,000
for Kuala Lumpur,
fine. But that's the federal position. But every state will have to revise and say, oh, should we follow 600,000 or not? You know. So I'm saying that, you know, at the end of the day, policy consideration like Bumi is really really. I would say that, you know, is you have to do a lot more due diligence. I would say that if you're really, really interested about it, please really do due diligence. If you can avoid it, yeah, please, why not?
Thank you for your questions. I found it very enlightening myself. We'll have more of this from Chris after these messages. Stay with us, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9. Hello, you're tuned in to The Property Show on The Morning Run, and I'm Wong Shao Ning, and I have Chris Tan here with me for the monthly property legal clinic that takes place on the last Friday of the month. Now, I have another question from Yo, and he wrote in, I understand that the management committee of a strata-titled condominium has unlimited authority in terms of spending the money from the sinking fund. Now, he asks whether it is possible to set a cap on the authorized limit for the management committee and how should he go about it. And the reason he's asking this is because he thinks that critical spending is needed for the condominium's upgrading of the elevator, but the committee is instead using the sinking fund for non-critical expenditure like beautification instead.
I think for a start, I mean, nothing ever have unlimited authority in that sense, especially in this situation whereby we're talking about a statutory body, the management committee here, which is after your strata title is issued, you have this thing called management corp, and therefore you have a management committee, which is like the cabinet of the entire parliament. So I'm saying...
Of the housing
parliament. Right. So I'm saying that, you know, for all intent and purposes, the cabinet is subject to the power of the rakyat, you know, in that sense. So if we can affiliate like that, it means that, you know, they're still answerable to the general meetings. I would say that there's no such thing as unlimited authority. Sinking fund, let's have the understanding what it is. Because I always have... I said, you know, if you live in a strata development, if a condominium, whatever, you basically have two other things for life. One is called service charge for life. One is called sinking fund for life. A lot of people don't quite understand what's the concept of service charge and sinking fund. So maybe at this juncture, I'll just explain a little bit.
Yes, please.
The easiest way to tell everyone what is a sinking fund, what is a service charge, I probably used year. As in the time of spending on expected expenditure to guide you. For example, anything that need to be spent within a year and a regular basis, for example, your landscaping, your cleaning, up of the swimming pool, you know, service of the lift and everything, a gym, that's very regular on a few months, on a quarter and within a year. So those should be part of your service charge.
Okay, and then the sinking fund?
The sinking fund is basically what I call the rainy day fund. So what I mean by rainy day fund means I collect first, but I don't use it. But one day when I use it, it's going to be big, you know, in that sense. For example, I always use the concept of lift. I mean, since Yo is talking about lift here, so let's talk about lift. Lift is a big item. For example, but you don't change it every month. You don't actually change any parts every quarter or within every year. So it's a little bit more durable. So you probably, at the end of the day, maybe after 20 years, 30 years, there might be a need to replace the entire lift. All right? Because the lift warranty or use, there is a lifespan to it. So I'm saying to you is that, so it's not part of the service charge. You utilize the so-called sinking fund. Right, so the whole idea about sinking fund is for you to really
when there's major rectification, correct. Or well, refurbishment
or,
work,
or in the business world we call it capital expenditure. Mm. So basically, you know, if you need to replace a lorry for your fleet of lorries for the logistics service, that's called sinking fund utilization, capital expenditure. So, for example, you don't need to replace your gym equipment every year. Mm. You probably need to service them, but clean them up and all these things. But let's say 5 years from now, it's spoiled, wear and tear, whatever. That's where you use your sinking fund. So let's look at what can you do with your sinking fund.
Yeah, is there any limit? Can you stop the management committee if, let's say, you're not happy but with what they do with the money in the sinking fund, for example?
So let's look at Section 11 and Section all the relevant sections under the Strata Management Act that allow to say that the sinking fund account shall be solely used for this purpose. So number one, we're looking at painting or repainting of any part of a common property which is the building or other structure. So you don't paint every year, right? Mm-hmm. You don't paint your facade of your building, you know, every year. So like that, so probably about 5 years, 6 years or whatever, then you can decide to do it. Acquisition of any movable property for the use in relation to the common property. So for example, movable property, for example, you need a lawn mower, that kind of thing, so that you don't need to buy that every year again. So again, for the service of common property. Renewal or replacement of any fixtures and fittings comprised in any common property. That's where you talk about replacement of gym equipment, for example, replacement of lift, right? And upgrading and refurbishment of the common property. So for example, if you, after 5 years, the playground equipment is no longer helpful, no longer clean enough for the children, you know, you probably want to
or
change
broken.
It or safe enough for that purpose. So those are the things you can do. So basically four things: painting, repainting, acquisition of movable property for the use of common property, and renewal and replacement of any fixture, all right? And also upgrading and refurbishment. Like I said, these are general guidelines.
But what if you dispute the amount spent?
Okay. Like I said, I mean, there is normally the contribution of the sinking fund by the owner always stay, and 10% is actually provided under the law, which means that if you need to pay $100 for your service charge, you have to pay another $10 for the sinking fund. And the amount usage, just to let every committee member know, whoever is listening in, including yours committee member in that sense, I want to say that, you know, if you're a management committee member, whether you're a JMB committee or you are a proper management corporation member, there are personal liability currently in the Act. That's why there's also insurance being flagged around just to protect yourself, right? But I'm just saying to you is that because you're utilizing public fund, correct? In that sense, you have to get endorsement. So I think that if the amount is too big, I mean, a lot of time because the committee is there because they can decide first and then rectify later. Right, but there's a chance that it cannot be rectified, you know. So, although there is no such requirement to say that every time they must go through and what is the limit, I think it would be prudent for any management committee in the AGM set the limit. For example, if we go into the AGM, like I said, you know, go to the parliament of the condominium and say, hey, if it's below $500, we can do it, right? If it's above $500, we must come back to you and do that. Get that own corporate governance or self-governance in. So once that's in, it's easier to manage. So I'm just trying to say that, you know, if it's a last sum of money, the expenditure is extraordinary in nature. For example, for some reason, everyone think that, oh, because 80% of the residents or the owner who stay there are working parents. So they probably want a nursery. All right. So I'm saying to you is that if you need to spend on the nursery and beautifier and section to be used by nursery and be operated or whatever, then the next question is this ordinary part of the business? So it's not. So it's extraordinary, then go ahead and get it endorsed in the general meeting. Expenses incurred for litigation, things like that. For example, if you need to go to court case and all this for recovery and all these things. So again, better get it endorsed. Involve allowance of member of management committee, it is sensitive. And if suddenly you realize that, by the way, it should be pro bono, it's voluntary job, but it's voluntary job with liability, which is very interesting. So let's say you decided, okay, since everyone done a very good job in saving from the budget, for example, they save 30%, you know, of what is budgeted for, there's actually a big saving and everyone very happy with them, let's declare a bonus.
Is that allowed under the law?
There is no strict prohibition per se, but I think, like I said, you know, cabinet can make any decision but subject to parliament.
And accountable.
Correct. So like I said, you know, I think I always want to advise management committee member and the chairman and treasurer and the secretary, this is not your family business, right? And it's actually a public service in a way. And it's actually a thankless job for that. So I'm very appreciative of those people who actually walk up and do this work. But I think that, you know, in the meantime, please protect yourself. You know, don't think that, oh, because I think it's good for the community and therefore no, everyone should support me. Trust me, these days, common logic doesn't appeal because everyone have a different way to say what is the best for everyone.
That's all the time we have for the monthly Property Legal Clinic today. Thanks as always, Chris. Join us again next month as Chris Tan of Chur Associates helps us shed light on your legal conundrums. Once again, send your questions to property@bfm.my or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next, followed by Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
The Property Show on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.